Good morning. How's everybody? Probably not the most exciting topic to talk about at 8:45 on Thursday morning in Las Vegas, but a little bit of background about myself. I have more letters after my name than my name, and I completed all that by the age of 27. So yes, I'm a high learner, high achiever. I have my own practice, done this for 20 plus years. We manage north of $150 million in assets. And we help clients protect their net worth. And that's what we're here for, right? So we can take away from here when we get done. I have to take you basically from zero. I got to get the plane in the air. I got to take you about 30,000 feet. And then I got to land it appropriately. We all ready? Okay. So let's think about it. Here's a person we do not want to know. Who is he? The Grim Reaper, right? We're all going to meet the Grim Reaper, and with that in mind, in your own mind right now, if the Grim Reaper touches you today, are things in order? You either know yes or no, right? How stale are your documents? When was the last time you actually sat down with the tax attorney, actually went through all your stuff to make sure things are done properly? It's going to happen. Bad things happen to good people. So therefore, we just need to put the plan in place. We already know the tools that we need, right? All we got to do is pick up the tools and put them in place, okay? So we're going to, A, pick up the tools, go to 30,000 feet, and then land appropriately. That way, we're not going to pay the IRS. We're going to protect our assets. And we're going to guarantee, that's a word you can't really use in the securities industry, or lawyers, it always says, it depends, right? But I'm going to step out a little bit, right? As a practicing tax attorney, I'm going to say we can guarantee certain results if you put it in place. So half of you, this room, you guys are exceptional individuals. You have your estate plan in place. Awesome. Give yourself a round of applause. Over here is the slackers. They don't have nothing in place. They're running blind. When the tide goes out, they're naked. They don't have any plan in place. That's the numbers that we see all the time. Everybody says, hey, I wake up, I got an S on my chest, I'm Superman. It's not going to happen to me. But it does. Had a client postpone 3 estate planning appointments to sign the documents. One morning, she was out running, did not return. Children that are going to inherit their mom's share at age 18, age of majority. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that they're going to inherit at the age of 18. That's a recipe for disaster, right? So let's avoid that. So if you die without a will, you die intestate. So when we have that, then we have to then look at account registrations to see what exactly is going to transpire with the assets in which the decedent passed away with. So we could have sole ownership, joint ownership, or payable on death account, right? A lot of you have a bank account payable on death to a beneficiary. We don't care what you die with a will or not with a will, because the payable on death designation supersedes that. Or if we have joint tenancy on bank accounts, we have our spouse on there, we die, goes over to them automatically by operation of law. So we're okay. But what about that single account? That little hidden account, you know, you put a little money over there. Nobody knows, comes to Vegas, that's your Vegas bank account, right? We all have them. Don't hide, right? I discover that when I talk with, well, I have this little savings account over here. And how much is in there? Well, about $35,000. Okay, perfect. We got to make sure that that account is taken care of when you plan your estate. Beneficiary designations. This one's a huge one. Show of hands. IRA accounts or 401ks, how many have one? Awesome. Can you tell me definitively who your contingent beneficiary is? Now, can you tell me definitively that if you name your 2 kids and one of the kids passes away, that their kids, meaning your grandkids, is going to receive that asset? Maybe not. Probably not. If you're married, 99% of you, if you want to stay married, have named your spouse as being the primary beneficiary. Is that correct? Yeah, happily ever after, right? I'm going to tell you, that's probably the biggest mistake you'll learn in here today, guaranteed. You'll be like, oh, I don't want a divorce. Well, no, we'll give them access to it, but we want to control where it ultimately goes. Because we're going to meet April and we're going to meet Barry, two players in this scenario. So I already met the Grim Reaper. We're going to meet April and Barry. So we have deeds also to property. You know, you're doing your financing, you're going to close out the deal. She's on vacation, you take the property in your individual name. Going to get around to updating the title to joint tenant right of survivorship. So therefore, if you pass away, operation of law transfers over to surviving spouse. What do? We get busy, right? So we have the deed in our own individual name. And therefore, when we pass away, it looks to our estate planning document to see where that is dictated to go, right? If you have last will and testament, it's going to go to the named beneficiary. If you die intestate, we're going to learn that, A, it does not go all to the surviving spouse. So therefore, we got to know joint tenant, tenants in common. That means I can leave, if we own property tenants in common, I can leave my share to my brother. Guess what? You're a joint tenant. You don't own half of that property. We have interest. Therefore, I can leave that to whoever I wish. Joint tenant right of survivorship passes over to you. Even though my will says I leave everything to my brother, but if we're joint tenant right of survivorship, you inherit that, okay? So all these things matter when you're doing an estate plan. Do not go to LegalZoom.com. This is beyond what you need to be doing, okay? So no will, state law, law of intestacy, descent and distribution in the state of Georgia, where I'm from, controls where the property is going to go, and therefore it divides out the estate. So pretty simple example, just to get you off the runway and get you in the air. Husband dies intestate, has $500,000, four kids. She getting it all? You already got to say no. Scene's already educated me. Wife's not going to get it all. That's sort of the bad omen in here that you learn, that you got to have things in place for your spouse to inherit. So therefore, the way the rule works is she gets half up front, then the other half is then divided between her and the kids. Basic math, right? So if she gets half up front, she's going to get the 250. The other 250 is then divided by 5, add 50, so she gets a total of 300. Here's what each kid gets. Now, if these are young kids, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, the probate court steps in, holds this in a guardianship for them, and at the age of majority, it becomes theirs. Put a little inflation compounding on the growth. What do you think they're going to inherit? 100 grand, maybe? Age 18? They'll survive one semester in college, right? And ask to leave. So let's not wreck them, right? We have a responsibility to our kids to make sure we do things right. So, what's the fix? We're off the runway. We're gaining altitude. So, we got two ways to plan your estate plan. One is your last will and testament, or you can do a revocable living trust. Most of the time when I say trust, everybody freaks out. Hey, I'm not Bill Gates. I don't understand what a trust is. And here's the first thing you need to conceptualize. A trust is a shoebox. That's it. All you're doing is building a shoebox. We're going to put stuff inside the shoebox. During your life, we're going to leave it open so you can put stuff in and out. But when you die, we're going to close that shoebox. And therefore, when we close it, it becomes creditor proof. Key number one. Key number two, there's a certain mechanism that you're going to learn that's going to allow the beneficiary, meaning your kids or your surviving spouse, to get in that box. Pull stuff out as they need it. But then, if they get in trouble, the box stays closed. It's creditor proof. So here's basically a last will and testament. Everybody knows that. Sit down with a lawyer. Give them some decision makers. Give them a plan of distribution. Pow, hurry up, slap it together, sign it, press hard, yellow copy's yours, right? But how many attorneys actually sit down and go through the titles on your assets? They don't. They're in a hurry. So if your attorney closed your real estate deal and says, hey, I'll do your estate plan as well, I'm going to try and do, okay? Just trying to help you out. This matters, okay? So last will and testament, distribution of your estate, your decision maker's always got to have a backup. Most of the time you name your spouse, then one of your adult children that's pretty understanding of finances and accounting. Unfortunately, there's probate fees and attorney's fees. I love probating estates. It's how I send my kids through private school. The clients don't come to me first. They come to me after somebody's passed away. I probate their estate, and I do it by state statute. It's very fair to me, more than fair to me. 2-3% on $2-3 million, how many of these things I got to do a year? Not that many. So if you think paying the IRS is expensive, pay your attorney to probate your estate. It gets real expensive. So let's avoid them, right? I'm an attorney. Let's avoid the attorney cost. We don't need them anymore. It's an antiquated system. Public display. Guess what? When you die, your last will and testament gets filed in the probate court, in which the county of your domicile. Now, your nosy neighbor can find out exactly what you own, where it's going, how much. Guess what? There's sharks that swim in that data. They know your surviving spouse received this property, this bank account, this much. And if you don't think they're garnering that data, you're fooling yourself. How many of you are going to tell me, well, here at the end of the show, which I call this a show, right? And tell me your net worth, where everything is, and how much you're worth. It's none of my business, right? So why are you gonna make it your business when you pass away? Because if you have a last will and testament, that's exactly what you're gonna do. Doesn't make sense to me. So let's change that system. Then we have ancillary probate. So how many of you have property in your domicile state, live in, let's say, Georgia, then you have that Florida. Awesome. If you don't have it titled right, you're going to be the lucky recipient of hiring two attorneys. So now we have your domicile state of probate and your ancillary state. So we have this attorney talking to this attorney. And attorneys bill by the hour normally, right? So we talk real slow. Therefore, your bill goes up. Send another request for documents, Mary, right? So we can avoid that as well. And it takes anywhere from 9 months to 2 years to probate any estate on average, okay? The heirs are busy with money. It was funny, my situation passed away, the kids come in from out of town, and they called me and they said, hey, the funeral's done about 2, am I gonna be able to come by your office and get a check from the estate? That's the day of the funeral. That is a real life scenario. I said, no, it's going to be a little while. Might as well go home and then we'll get back in touch with you. So revocable living trust. Here's your shoebox, right? We're going to build it today, open it up, and put stuff in it inside this trust. It's revocable, meaning we can change, alter, amend it as long as you are alive and have mental capacity to do so. So distribution of estate's gonna be the same. Decision makers can be the same. We're okay. There is no probate of your estate. So we take your shoebox when you pass away and let's put your house in here and let's put your bank account. Make it real simple. When you pass away, we're gonna take your shoebox, we're gonna take it over to your spouse, we're gonna dump this box into their box. So each spouse has their own revocable living trust. Okay, pretty simple. When we dump this over, it's in the confines of a conference room, not in the probate court. There is no public display of anything. So therefore, it's done, not in 9 months, it's done in probably 2 months. Just time to get the death certificate and get everything organized. 100% private, that's what I love. Big data, we don't need to see it anymore, right? You keep things close to the vest. Especially in small towns, you don't really need to know everything that you're doing. So the other thing is no ancillary probate. If I have that Florida condo, I title in my trust, I pass away, do a deed over to my surviving spouse, no ancillary probate, no attorney or two attorneys talking together. That knocks out the fees. Attorneys don't like trusts. Why? Don't get to probate the estate. I mean, that's a retirement. It's huge, the fees. It's amazing. So I'm telling you, in here, you need to contact your attorney and just say, you know what? I need to update my estate plan. I need a trust. But here's the catch. If you build a trust, which a lot of attorneys do, they draft it, but then they don't put anything in it. And they use a pour over will to pour everything over into it. Okay? Your knowledge right here is what? Dude, you're going to probate. No, do it right. Put stuff in the shoebox up front. Get it all in there now. But attorneys don't do that. Therefore, you think you got a trust. Oh, sorry, passed away. Mary, sorry to hear your husband passed away. In order to get the stuff in the trust, we got to probate the estate. What? Get the job done right first. Testamentary trust. This is where the magic starts to happen, folks. This means you passed away and you, right now, are planning for the survivors. You have a magic tool. Right? Death is a tool. In my realm, in my planning, it's a magic tool. Yeah, huge consequence, but let's use the tool. I love you, plan of distribution. That's where you just leave everything to your surviving spouse. Awesome. Perfect. You'll be married. Right? Pretty simple. I love you, but remember I said there was two other people. One's April, one's Barry. There's April. Unfortunately, your wife passes away and everything goes to who's your husband meet? Or she finds him. That's April. Guess what? There's longevity risk. We're all living longer. Right? Do you think April's going to spend more money than what you spend, ladies? Absolutely. Do you think men are shallow? Absolutely. We're weak. We're very weak. So we identify our weakness and address it. But girls, there's Barry. Guys, look at yourself in the mirror. I mean, it's hard to compete with Barry. That's eye candy for those ladies. Like Barry? Looks pretty good. Now, Barry is a smooth talker. You think Barry's going to hang out? Because he's found a purse. Right? Think about it. He's found a purse. All he's got to do is hang out for a little while, right? Get in the nest, hang out. So I don't want to enable April or Barry, so therefore when I plan my client's estates, I want to have things go into a trust. Not that I don't trust my surviving spouse, it's that I don't trust April and I don't trust Barry. Plain and simple. So I'm going to leave this in a testamentary trust. Remember, we got to close this box, right? And therefore, my surviving spouse is going to have 100% control of all these assets. She wants to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks? Absolutely, let's go. She wants to remodel the kitchen? Absolutely, let's go. If she's involved in a lawsuit, all these assets are 100% creditor proof. They can't get in. So the $2 million of assets inside the testamentary trust that she has absolutely 100% control of, can't get at. But if she wants to take money out, she can, absolutely. Now, when the surviving spouse passes away, if April and Barry are in the picture, it doesn't matter. She cannot control where these assets go. You do, the first decedent. And therefore, you directly guarantee that your kids of that marriage are going to receive these assets. It doesn't matter how smooth of a talker Barry is, and Barry Manilow, right? It doesn't matter. Sorry, Barry, I can't control where these go. Thanks for the great years of our life together. But these assets go down to my kids. That's what my husband and I wanted to have happen. So, not a bad proposition. 100% creditor proof, 100% control guarantees your kids are going to receive these assets. Now, in your mind, this half of the room that had their estate plan in order, do you have the I love you situation? Make it easy. I love you. Here's everything of my assets. Or have you put a plan in place and say, I love you, but I don't trust Barry and I don't trust April. Over here, you guys got to wake up. Remember, you're the half that's asleep at the switch. Don't have any estate in place. Put this in place. Here's the other thing. Blows my mind. You guys work a lifetime to get this stuff in order, accumulate these assets, and what do? I give it all to my wife if she survives me. And then if she doesn't survive me, I give it to my kids in equal shares. My goodness, what are you doing? How fast are they going to spend it? Within 93 days is the average. They blow their inheritance in 93 days. They have ordered the camper. They have looked at the magazine for the new house. And she's calling a plastic surgeon. Life is good. I'm telling you, it happens. Here's the thing. There's no credit protection. If I inherit assets and I'm involved in a lawsuit, guess what? Those assets are now exposed. Don't do it. Give them control, but don't leave it open to the creditors. Largest potential creditor of your children is an ex-spouse. More than half of all marriages are ending in divorce now. Trust me, that rate is going to go up. Social media is one of the biggest sort of instigators. Just had a client. He is 72 years old. Facebook got involved with his high school sweetheart. Divorcing. Crazy. Been married 30 plus years. No, high school sweetheart's going to come to the romance. It's all new and different, right? So here, we don't know what our kids' relationships are going to be. So therefore, why don't we protect our kids? They need it to use it to go to Disney World. Let's have it. Let's let them go. Take the grandkids. Buy a ski boat. Doesn't matter. But if something happens, they start a business, they fail, it's okay. All these assets are 100% creditor, even from their ex-spouse. Here's what you need to do. Place your assets in trust for your kids until age 70. Now, I'm not sure you're going to share this with them on a Sunday afternoon dinner. Your assets are going to stay in trust until 70. It's not because I don't trust you. It's just because I'm smarter than you are, okay? And I trust everyone else outside this room. That's what I've done. I practice what I preach. My kids will not receive anything free of trust until age 70. Guess what? I'm in front of the room. I know what I'm doing. Why would I do this? There's no downside risk. It's only beneficial. Here's the mechanism. Death. Got to utilize it. It's all going to happen to us. Remember the Grim Reaper? He's coming. One day. So in that plan, I'm going to generate a mechanism that will place my assets in trust, proof the assets, but allow my kids 100% control. It's the only time under law that you can allow that to happen. Because if you give your assets away today, you lose control. And that freaks everyone else out in the room, right? I don't want to give away my assets and lose control. So you never do it. You never put it in a creditor-proof box today because we have to lose control. So if you're trying to do this legacy plan for your kids and do it right, what's the downside risk? There is none. But you got to do it now while you're alive to use the mechanism of death to create this opportunity for them. Have control, creditor proof, and they're okay until 70. It's magic. Here's a 401k IRA. Show of hands, who has a qualified account? Almost all of you, right? This is scaring me, and if you take one thing away from here, this is the largest thing you need to know. Jot it down on a piece of paper, really take mental note of this. I'm seeing multi-million dollar 401k IRA accounts. Beneficiary designation is who? The spouse. Now what happens? Spouse will roll over. Avoid the tax, right? That's the tax dodge. Now we got until age 70 and a half of the surviving spouse to take their RMD, right? Required beginning date. Where's April? Where's Barry? People get remarried. Who becomes the primary beneficiary on that asset? Barry and April. Don't think or kid yourself. It happens. Because when they move over to April or Barry's new advisor, who does that advisor by default put on the primary beneficiary line? Surviving spouse. Just going to do a spousal rollover. No one checks the document. This is your largest financial asset, liquid, most of the time. No planning. Spouse first, kids second, right? Okay, you got $1 million IRA, two kids, $500,000 a piece. They're 35 and 38. What are they going to do with it? Ching, ching. Give me a check. I may keep half of it in 1 year, and then the next year I'm a little short because I got to pay tax on the money in which I pulled out first, right? So I might as well just liquidate the rest of it. That's what happens. So let's keep April and Barry out of this. 99% of the time, primary beneficiary is a surviving spouse. I think that's wrong. I know it's wrong in my client base, and I corrected it. Contingent beneficiaries are kids. Remember I said, okay, you can identify your contingent beneficiary. Maybe you have your kids listed, but you can't guarantee me that if one of your kids passes away that their kids are going to receive their share. Most of the time, the default language is a surviving child. So, wow, you just disinherited your grandchildren. That was swell. Thanks, Grandma. I love you too. It matters. These little details are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, which need addressing. What if I, A, get busy and I name the estate? Well, I have my last will and testament, says go to my wife. My wife doesn't survive and equal shares to my kids. Guess what? IRS says the estate is a measuring life of zero. You have 5 years to burn that IRA. Has to come out within 5 years date of death. 5 years. Have $1 million IRA. Guess what? You're at least $200,000 a year. Has to come out. Ordinary income. There is no stretch. There is no spousal rollover. So, do me a favor, go home, pull, make sure your estate beneficiary or your beneficiary on your IRA, 401k, Roth, is not the estate of you. Wrong plan. Spouse remarries. It happens. I see it all the time. He passes away, she survives, she's younger, she's 55. You think she's going to get remarried? Absolutely. We're human. We need companionship. So, the $1 million IRA, spouse rolls it over. We're great. Spouse remarries. It's going to happen. Primary beneficiary becomes in April. And therefore, they roll it over when wife passes away or husband passes away. And who gets it? Ding. Ding! He's got to go to the gym. See? The eye candy? That's who gets it. Your hard work. Look to the next person beside you. That's who might get your IRA. Think about it. You don't know them, but they could swoop in. Where are they going to meet somebody? This event right here. Oh, what do you do? I got to sell stories. So do I. I lost my wife last year. Well, so did I. Shazam. Let's hang out. I'm in the gym lately. That's what happens. So update your planning. That's my challenge to you. I go to a lot of these myself to keep up all my training. And I sort of walk away with, you got to have a things to do. Get out your estate plan. It's not a sexy thing to do. It's not a fun thing to do. But man, it has consequences. And it actually helps you and your family protect what you have. Right? You're always trying to grind it out. But why don't you protect what you currently have? So let's update your estate plan. Here's the magic, DBT. You remember three letters, DBT, that's all you need to know for the rest of your conference. It's a designated beneficiary trust. It's an actual legal trust document that you draft, and therefore I'm gonna control $1 million IRA or 401k by about 15 pages of legal verbiage. Not a line item on a beneficiary designation. It's amazing. Fidelity, Schwab, any brokerage firm, they have primary beneficiary and they have one line. Contingent beneficiary is about five lines. Give me a percentage, right? That's crazy. You're controlling $1 million plus asset by one single line? Give me a break. So therefore, get a designated beneficiary trust, draft it, put it in place and say, you know what? Honey, if I die, you can have my IRA. I want you to roll it over, keep it, spend it, do whatever you want. But when you pass away, Barry and April are not going to be the beneficiary. It's going to our kids. You can get remarried, have fun, go to Disney World. He or she will take you to Hawaii. I just am not going to get on the plane that long. I refuse. They'll go. But when you, the surviving spouse, passes away, guaranteed, your kids will receive that qualified asset. It's the only time you can guarantee that. Because if you just do a spousal and they roll it over, they have ownership, they have control, therefore it's their asset, and they can name April, Barry, or whoever they want to be the beneficiary. Not going there. I don't like Barry. I don't like April. I don't trust them. Have this in place. When the kids inherit, all your kids are very financially astute, right? They're not going to squander the money. This is the way you guarantee they're not going to squander the money. Because if you do the math on a stretch IRA, they end up being about 2.5 times the value in which they would have received if they cashed out the IRA. No funny math on the interest rate, on the compounding. It's just a tax deferral strategy that you put in place. Now, they have to take a required minimum distribution for an inherited IRA. That's a minimum they have to take. But then you can also have the release valve. Again, they're in control. So they can take more if they need it. They lose their job, they need to take more out of the IRA. They can. So therefore, we plan for those contingencies as well. DBT for the kids, stretch it, and therefore they can't spend it. Can't stress that enough. People that don't earn the money, spend the money. Spend it fast and furious. Gifts, transfer a property for less than fair and adequate consideration. I got to bring you up to speed. We're at 30,000 feet now, okay? Annual exclusion, everybody says $15,000, right? That's the new limit. So I can give you $15,000, doesn't affect any gift tax, no estate tax. It's a unified system. Therefore, husband and wife, they can join in. And they can give a total of $30,000. They may have to file the gift tax form. No gift tax is due. But what if you want to give your child even more? $100,000. Down payment on a house. Guess what? You can. The child's not going to pay any income tax on it because gifts are excluded from income tax. And then you say, wait, you know, I'm at that $15,000 limit. Yeah, you are. But you have the 15 plus your spouse's 15, there's 30. You have 70 over that, but you have a unified credit. You got to file a gift tax return. You owe the IRS zero, but it affects your overall estate plan. That's how you do this, okay? So remember back in your mind, we were talking about control. Don't want to give away your assets yet, right? To the next generation, because you want to control everything. You built this enterprise, I'm not losing control, okay? Keep this in mind for a second. Then we have estate tax. This one's sort of exempted. Now we're in rare air for where the estate tax actually applies to most individuals. We're at $11.4 million a piece. We have a coupon, and therefore we need to make the selection. We got to add back in your lifetime taxable gifts. So therefore, when we gave that $100,000 away, we had 70 taxable gift, right? We filed that gift tax return. We never paid the IRS any, but it goes against our unified credit. It's a unified system. And it gets very complex, and I'm trying to get you up to 30,000 feet, not scare you, right? Don't jump out of the plane yet. So taxable estates over $11.4 million in 2019. So that is your net estate, your taxable estate. So we have some deductions, those large attorney's fees that I love to pay for my kids' private school. Those come out, and then we got to get that net taxable estate before we have to file that return. But that's per individual, right? So we got to have $2 million estate. There's not that many of those. Everybody walking around is not having a $20 million net worth. Trust yourself. It's rare air. Very rare air. So this magic number, the 11.4, escapes 95% of the people if you do your planning right. And that's why we're not so concerned about estate taxes anymore. We're concerned about control and income taxes. Okay? So we have to elect portability. If we're close to that 11 mark, then we need to elect portability and we need to file the 706 to make that election. You don't file the 706, you lose the portability, and if you breach over the 11.4 and you get to $15 million, you just blew it. So make the election if you're close. That way you get to keep it for the surviving spouse. Here's what I'm seeing though, those stale documents. You folks right here, got your estate plan done. I'm not even talking to you, go to sleep. Get a drink of coffee. Right here, stale documents. In your documents, you may have this AB credit shelter trust language in there, right? Big thick thing, you never understood it. The attorney said sign it, you said okay, great, yellow copy's yours. We'll see you whenever you die. Okay, stale document says shall fund the credit shelter trust. Shall, oh my gosh, is that optional? No, that you are going to fund that credit shelter trust. Whatever that is. So that means we're going to fund up to $11.4 million in this credit shelter trust. It's not necessary. Then when the surviving spouse passes away, do any of these shall funded assets get step up in basis to fair market value date of death? Tell me no. Huge tax planning mistake. No, not IRA. IRAs don't get stepped up. But when the shall fund, those don't get re-stepped up when the surviving spouse passes away to fair market value date of death of the surviving spouse. Huge tax mistake. So that shall language is costly. To who? Next generation, the kids. Here we go, estate plan. Let's see how good we are. Intestate, assets, home, joint tenants, right of survivorship, 700,000 large, average home. Storage operation, 2 million. 50-50 LLC, IRA, no beneficiary, condo, husband's name only, investments, husband only, joint bank account, 24 million. Typical, day in, day out, bread and butter. This is easy, quick fix. But here's what happens when they pass away intestate. Home goes to the wife, right? Look at the title. Remember, we talked about titles matter. Therefore, this applies. She gets the entire home. Storage, uh-oh, what happens? Intestate, remember, you only get half first. The other half gets divided between the surviving spouse and the number of kids. Therefore, this LLC is not 100% owned by the surviving spouse. It's going to be owned 60% by the wife, 40% by the kids. That should work well, right? Because one of the in-laws wants what? More money. More money. Guess what? They have a claim now, right? They're a member. IRA, oh my gosh, we were going to get around to get the beneficiary designation updated in a hurry. We put the date down, therefore it has to be distributed out within 5 years, date of death. We just let the $700,000, that's got to go into ordinary income in the next 5 years. You don't have a choice, no tax deferral. Condo, in-law gets to use it now. Operation of law. That's what happens. Investments. Oh, there's my cash. I'm getting my Corvette. See new 2020 Corvettes? Look pretty nice. He's in. He's in. There's no question. When can I go stockbroker and get my check? Joint bank account flies over to the surviving spouse. We're okay with that. So she gets $2.6 million out of four. Whose fault? It's your fault. Not you guys. You guys have your plan. It's your guys' fault. Wake up. Get some more Starbucks. This is what happens. We see it. Half of all Americans don't have anything in place. Or if you had it, it's so old, it's antiquated, and you don't want to use it, so therefore you throw it through the shredder and go, intestate's better. Not telling you what to do, okay? I never said destroy any documents. I'm being recorded, okay? Consequences. She'll inherited 67% IRA. There is no tax deferral. There is no spousal rollover. We lit the fuse on $700,000 of ordinary income in 5 years. Completely crazy. And folks, I'm telling you, I look at accounts that are $1 million, $1.5 million. $2.1 million IRAs. The estate is the primary beneficiary. And these are self-directed at the 1-800 financial firms. Guess what? The financial firm says, we don't provide tax advice. So they're off the hook, right? I think that's crazy. How costly is that self-directed IRA? My goodness, that's the first mistake. Estate contest. You think money's in play, $4 million? I'm entitled to more, right? I didn't earn it, but I'm entitled to get it. There will be contests. Trust me, there's money in play. Where there's money, there's arguments. Attorney's fees, ancillary probate. You got the condo down there. I got to hire another attorney because I'm not licensed in Florida. I'm going to hire him. He talks real slow. Therefore, my bill goes up. May have to make a trip or two down there just to make sure we're in the right county, inspect it, take an inventory a couple times. Yeah, it's all slow. We're good. Bill goes up. Takes a while. We're good. LLC. The control now is with who? Still with her. But man, you got minority owners that have minority interests, which have to be represented. Now you have duties and responsibilities. You can't just cut a distribution check. Not that we ever do that, right? Extra cash, off to me, we account to no one. Now guess what? You're accounting to everyone, especially the in-law. Let's see the books and records. Let's make sure that we're getting our fair share. Make an accounting. Now it's just a nightmare. Or if you don't want to, they make it such a burden that A, you don't want to deal with them anymore. So they say, oh yeah,
We'll sell a chair. You can get me out. Give me a check. Right? They want the cash for the Corvette. They force a sale. Family dynamics are forever changed. Trust me on this. It changes. So here's the proper estate plan. My challenge to you, if you walk away with anything on your to-do list, one, first, there's DBT, Designated Beneficiary Trust. Got to have it. You're controlling a multi-million dollar asset most of the time, or at least $1 million asset inside an IRA, 401k. Do not delineate on one line how you're going to control $1 million asset. It's ridiculous. The industry's failing you. And I'm the first one to tell you, I think it's wrong. We manage the 150 plus million, tax attorney, CPA, I understand they're missing it. It's ridiculous, should be changed. So establish a revocable living trust for husband and wife. Two shoeboxes, that's it. We're gonna draft a legal document, we're gonna build your shoebox. But the key provision is we are actually going to title things into the shoeboxes. Therefore, your house will be owned by the Jim Smith Revocable Trust. Bing, bank account, Jim Smith Revocable Trust. Your automobiles, Jim Smith Revocable Trust. The LLC membership certificate, cancel the first one. Jim, you don't own it. Your trust owns it. The Jim Smith Revocable Trust owns it. Now, when Jim passes away, it's going to go to his wife. No probate, 100% private. No huge attorney's fees. That's why most attorneys say probate's not a big thing. Huh. Yeah, it guarantees their retirement, right? Then draft a designated beneficiary trust to be the primary beneficiary on your qualified accounts. It's huge. That way you guarantee your surviving spouse is going to receive that. They can do a spousal rollover IRA. They can access it at age 70 and a half, their required beginning date. They have to take out the required minimum distributions. That's fine. If they need more for going to Disney World with the grandkids, that's fine. Doesn't matter. They get remarried. Guess what? Can they update the beneficiary on that IRA? Tell me no. Hey, if you learn one thing in here, just say no. Okay? I know it's early. So here's the plan. Husband has a revocable living trust. Wife has a revocable living trust. Because I don't know who's going to die when. And if the client tells me I know she's going to die early, I have problems. Okay? So husband leaves everything to wife in trust. Remember, what's the key provision? Creditor proof. Who's in control? The mechanism of death, right? It's the only time under law that we can allow the trustee and the beneficiary to be both in control and have creditor protection. So therefore, these assets go down to my surviving spouse in trust. They have control and they are the beneficiary. They want to take assets? Perfect. They want to invest assets? Perfect. Then what happens? What about April and Barry? Don't forget them. They're key players in this movie. What about the assets that are now all to wife in trust? Can she leave these to Barry? The eye candy. No. Where are they going? To the kids. Are we going to give it to the kids outright? Let them squander it, get the new Corvette? Spend it like you've never spent it? Uh-uh. What are we doing? We're going to place it in trust, another testamentary trust. Let them be the trustee. Let them be the beneficiary. Hold it until age 70. Then let them figure out their plan, right? But you put all these assets, creditor proof for wife, creditor proof for kids, but you allowed them 100% control of everything. Whew. That's a plan. To put the plan in place, you gotta do it today though. You don't get these elections when you pass away and you didn't put the plan in place. Not unless you've discovered the fountain of youth, we're all going to get there. So it's not a, well, I may not use this, like homeowner's insurance. My house may or may not burn. But man, I've never thought about never insuring my house. That's a 1 in 400 chance. This is guaranteed. Remember the Grim Reaper? He's coming. I don't know when. Could be this afternoon. I could walk out of here and drop dead. Don't know. Bad afternoon. Then I'm going to have a designated beneficiary trust for my qualified assets. What about your life insurance? Think about that all as well, right? You have whole life, term, whatever kind of insurance. The mechanism is the beneficiary designation on that. Better make sure that's coordinated to make sure that it gets in the wife trust box. Because if you name who again is that one stupid line for $1 million life insurance policy, is what? Spouse, right? So it goes over to the spouse, the wife. Does Barry come into play? Eye candy Barry. It's her money, right? She can leave it to Barry. Why wouldn't you direct your life insurance to go in trust for her, meaning your surviving spouse? That way Barry doesn't get any. That's what I would do. That's what you should do. Because think about it. Look next to you. Do you want them to receive your $1 million life insurance? I mean, seriously. Just hand it over to them now. Don't wait until you die. There's April. We got to keep her out. There's Eye Candy Barry. It's all good. Let's talk about something real quick. You want to maintain control. Remember gifts, right? And if we want to move this appreciation out to that next generation, okay? Want to still maintain control. What we do is we form a family limited partnership. This is value added for attending. It's not on the slideshow. So we form a family limited partnership, and therefore you become the GP, and you slowly gift away these assets of the LP interest, the limited partnership interest. Kids. Where do you give these to? That trust. And you can do it today. Who was the most famous individual that created a family limited partnership before the business got anywhere of any size and therefore transferred the most significant value to the next generation free of federal estate tax? Everyone shops there. Walmart, Sam Walton. His father-in-law was an attorney and therefore told Sam, here's what you need to do. Form a family limited partnership right now before Walmart gets anywhere and therefore transfer these limited partnership interests to who? Your kids. Keep the general partnership interests. Hold on to them, you control the enterprise, but all the future appreciation, 98% of the future appreciation is going to be attached to the limited partnership shares. Best plan ever devised. And there was tens of billions of dollars that escaped federal estate tax. Absolute magic. Pretty cool plan. They do. But he formed it and gave away all the interest, I believe, when there was only two Walmart stores. And look where they are now. They're one of the richest families in the world. Okay? So, what have we learned? We got to recap, right? I got you off the runway. This side has stale estate planning documents. I know you do, based on what we just discovered. This side, you guys can start brand new. You don't even have to get out the old placemat kind of will on the legal size paper. Just start brand new because you don't have anything in place. What's the first thing you're going to probably recognize? You have to leave the money in trust for your surviving spouse to guarantee your kids are going to get it. You can give them control, though. We're not so much worried about tax. We're worried about control and keeping Barry and April at bay. That's number one. Number two, in your estate planning documents, have a trust for your kids. Do not leave the money outright. Yes, probably leave them some money right off the top so they can go squander it and spend it. That's only natural, but put the bulk of your assets in trust for them. They can be the trustee, they can be the beneficiary, and therefore that is going to be creditor proof in case their marriage blows apart. Because we know it's 50-50. You got two kids, one's going to get divorced. That's what the averages tell us, and it's going to increase. Trust me. The institution of marriage is falling apart, unfortunately. So we have that. So that takes care of your home, your LLCs, your property, those things. But your larger financial asset, liquid most of the time, is going to be your IRA or 401k. Therefore, that needs a designated beneficiary trust to be the primary beneficiary on that. Because it says, A, the spouse can roll it over, but then the surviving spouse can never update the beneficiary on that $1 million IRA. It has to go to the kids in equal shares or however you want to divide it. But we guarantee, that is a huge word, we guarantee that our kids are going to receive that financial asset. It's significant. Any questions? Yes. No, not if we do it this way, because it's not a marital asset. They've never put it in their name. Yes.
So if I want to transfer assets into a broker trust.
Yes. You want to transfer your assets into a revocable living trust.
Now,
it doesn't have anything to do with your estate, $11.4
million.
Then, yes. Yes. Absolutely. Here's what, I get your point. He's worried about the next administration is going to drop this $11.4 million down to, let's say, $1 million. Right, okay. Here's what you do. You form your family limited partnership. You go ahead and gift out your $11.4 million and you guarantee what? You took full advantage of the $11.4 million of value in the limited partnership interest. Therefore, the future appreciation of $11.4 million is with who? The kids. They are limited partners. They are not general partners. You still control it. The administration changes, goes down to $1 million of exemption. It doesn't matter. You got $11.4 million out of your estate. If your wife joins you, you can get that $22 million out now. Because I gotta have control, because the revocable living trust is only a mechanism to hold your assets. It's not to defer and control and move the future appreciation down to the next generation. What?
Yep.
You maintain control inside your revocable living trust, absolutely. And but I got to form a limited partnership and have the GP owned by the revocable living trust transfer my limited partnership interest down to the kids, get that future appreciation out. If you're concerned that the next administration is going to change that 11.4 and drop it back to a million or a million two. If you're worried about that, which I would be too, you got to make a conscious decision. Do I form this and transfer this out now to guarantee I have $22 million of exemption? Far and beyond this discussion. Yes. Any questions? Yes. Yes.
Walmart.
Yes. Walmart. Yep. Get the future appreciation out to the next generation. Yes.
Okay, so you have your self-storage and it's an LLC.
Yep.
And files a partnership. Is that the same treatment as an FLP?
No. GPs are not FLPs. General partnerships are not limited partnerships. Yep. Right, so we're going to take your existing GP LLC, and we're going to transfer that into a family limited partnership. Family limited partnership owns that original GP, and therefore we're going to transfer the limited partnership interest out to that next generation. Who's still in control? You are. But the future appreciation's down here. Also, when you do a family limited partnership, you also have creditor protection as well. Most of the time you do not. You cannot be forced to liquidate a family limited partnership or a limited partnership to satisfy a judgment. Last question.
What do you have to say about generation skipping for your grandkids?
Come up and see me. Too far beyond this. I'll lose half the class. Yes.
Does the designated beneficiary trust maintain its tax deferral, or does it become taxable at tax rates for trust?
No. She asked me a compounded question. She says, does the designated beneficiary trust, when the surviving spouse rolls that over, does it keep its tax deferral? Absolutely. I would not blow up your million-dollar IRA. Then I also allow the mechanism for required minimum distributions or additional distributions, keeping that tax deferral status. Then also on the contingent beneficiary to the kids, it keeps their tax status as well, inherited IRA, therefore they get that tax deferral as well. Yes.
The documents on the loans for an LLC, if you transfer more than 25% of the ownership, it's not being re-rolled.
You got to look at the documents. It's not a perfect world all the time. But if you go to the bank and you say, hey, here's what I'm doing, here's my plan, I'm still personally guaranteeing the loan, they usually waive it and go with it because you're putting things in place to make sure the control and ownership is with who? The spouse or your partner, whoever it's going to be. They usually go along. Yes?
Does a revocable living trust
have to file a tax return? Absolutely. It's your 1040. There is no separate tax file. Yes? Practical considerations, you know what? It's a fire drill. You get a list and you have to find your deeds, find your bank account statements, make sure your life insurance beneficiary is who it is. It's you do all this, which you would be doing in probate up front. So the practical considerations, you gather your documents, you retitle them, you get them in the trust name, you acquire a new asset, you have a billfold card which says, nope. Blow it in. You have 100% control of everything. Yes? Say that one more time. If I'm going to transfer that ownership interest down to my kids now, I'm probably going to put it in an irrevocable testament or an irrevocable living trust right now today. One thing you want to look at a DBT, I have a SGT DBT trust that you can go and sort of run through a scenario on that. Make sure you take a look at it. And I appreciate your time. I hope you got something out of this. Have a great event.